And I'm saying that my intention is to be short solely to give you hope. I mean, let's be honest. But we'll see how we go. I felt that there's kind of an in-between space. We've had a lot going on lately. We've been in the midst of talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you're new here, once again, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We look to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I think that we consider ourselves a quite well-rounded group of people. So I'm gonna just lightly touch on the gift of tongues today, because Jeremy and Gibran talked about that a few weeks back, and I just wanted to bring up just a couple points. I'm not correcting anything. I think you'll track with where I'm going in this. Barbara mentioned this morning, and I thought it was a great point, that so often what we can do with the gift of tongues is, look, if you don't speak in tongues, that's fine. You know, we're not like, okay, this is the non-tongue side of the church, and this is the tongue side of the church. You know, we're not like that. But I just want to encourage you, in the same way Barbara did, that I believe the gift of tongues can be really quite helpful. It's to build you up. I'd ask for a quick show of hands. How many of you feel like you need to be built up from time? Don't show it. You don't. Okay. I agree. And Barbara had said that it's like, what is it? It's sort of like it's a weapon. I love that. I need more weapons against the enemy. Amen. And it's like me and the Holy Spirit is a majority. I think I said that backwards. The Holy Spirit and me is a majority. Anyways, we're on the winning side. And I'd had a situation this week where I'd had a dream. True story. I had a dream. It must have been Thursday or Friday. And I had woken up. It was a dream that it wasn't really that big a deal, the dream. It wasn't like super sad or anything. But I woke up utterly disheartened. Do you ever have that? I woke up in one of those situations where it's like I'd slept like a pretty solid night's sleep, and I still woke up feeling totally fatigued. You know, like I had just run a marathon. And yet at the same time, because of the dream I had, I felt totally disheartened in like my calling in life. And I just remember, and I kind of started, and I don't know if you do this, but I kind of started to slide into it, like to put the slippers on and kind of slide into it a little bit, you know, where you're just kind of going with it. And then I thought, wait a minute, what is going on here? This is clearly from the enemy. And I thought, you know, but I feel this overwhelming sense of emotion that seems to be saying that these feelings are true. Anybody else ever get this? And I thought, what do I do about this? Because in my mind, I knew that it was wrong, that I was being lied to. Amen? Yet, in my heart, I felt like it was true. What is the tool I have that can adjust my mind and my heart in that situation? And I mean, I was not motivated. Are you with me? I was not feeling it. And I just said, you know, and I started thinking about what Gibran and Jeremy had been talking about in some of the conversations my wife and I had had. And I just decided, as a sheer act of obedience, sheerly by will, I'm going to just start speaking in tongues. And so I just started speaking in tongues to myself. There was no one around. My wife is out of town for a couple days. She's up at a sister's conference. And, you know, so I was laying there in bed. And just probably for the better part of half an hour, maybe, I just started speaking in tongues. And then I just, that sort of led me into a place where I kind of felt like maybe worshiping. So I got some worship music going. And immediately my day was turned around. And, you know, I just thought to myself, man, praise the Lord. Like, instead of kind of like, moping through the day, and not only moping through the day, but this overwhelming sense of fatigue. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I I forgot what I was going to say. Praise the Lord. That's all right. An overwhelming sense of fatigue. And for those of you who don't know or are unaware, that sense of fatigue oftentimes is a symptom of spiritual warfare, spiritual oppression. Just in case, you know, I'm not going to sort of go through and sort of point that out to you, but I'll just give you that little tidbit. So the thing that occurred to me is like, look, I want to make sure that I'm utilizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in such a way as they're to be useful. So one of the things I need to remember, I mean, as we're a group of people who seeks to step out in those areas. Now, once again, we pray for the sick here. Awesome thing is from time to time, you know, we got a decent track record. Does every person we pray for get healed? No, but I'll tell you what, our desire, our heart is to get to that place. We have a very skilled and accurate team of prophetic people who often prophesy over people. I have said before that the prophets who are within this church have changed my life. Literally changed my life. The trajectory of my life on several levels have been changed by people just prophesying over me. What are they doing when they prophesy? They're speaking the heart of God over me. And I need that from time to time. But sometimes we can step up, and there's a lot of other gifts. There's faith. There's leadership. Giving is a gift in the Bible. You know, there's all these sort of neat areas that we can step into. Not only tongues, but interpretation of tongues. Service is called a gift. But sometimes I can step out and I can use the gifts of the Holy Spirit because I'm supposed to. Sometimes I can do it just as a sheer act of my will. Sometimes I can do it because I kind of know I should, or I think I should, because I want to be a good Christian. But the reality is 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it gives us this introduction, if you will, to these gifts of the Holy Spirit. It calls them in the Greek, they're pneumaticos. They're things of the Spirit. And I think they're important. But one of the things that I think is as important, and that I want to make sure as we're in this season of talking about the gifts, and once again, we do go into other areas that we teach about, but I believe education creates expectation. As we become aware of what the Bible says we can do and step out in, that creates an expectation in my heart where I'm actually going to step out and do those things. Amen? If you don't know what the Bible says, if you don't know that the Bible says, hey, you can do this, you're never going to step out and do it. A lot of people hear about these things and don't actually take the time to dissect them. But just because we understand that these things are there, we need to also understand how we're supposed to use these gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12 gives us a lot of insight as to what's going on. And then 1 Corinthians 14 gives us some even more specific insight about two of the very controversial gifts. And we've talked about one, we're going to get to the other. One is the gift of tongues. That can be very divisive in the body of Christ. Here's the deal. We don't want to do that. If you've got super strong opinions about the gift of tongues, let's chat. We're not going to be mad. We're going to be weird. We just want to talk about what the Bible says. We've talked about that one a little bit. The next one we're going to talk about within the next couple weeks is the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about both those gifts a little more specifically. But wedged in between 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 is 1 Corinthians 13. Now, what's the nickname for 1 Corinthians 13? The love chapter. The love chapter. Now, so let's just turn there, 1 Corinthians 13, because I want to just give us a short encouragement on how we're supposed to use the spiritual gifts, on what we're supposed to do with the spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, Paul is writing here, and he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, so he's he's kind of making the point that, man, maybe I have the gift of tongues. Maybe I have the gift of tongues. Do I want to go there? No, I won't. So if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I just find this interesting. A cymbal and a gong, I would say, are two instruments that have a tremendous opportunity to make an impact in the sounds that are coming out. But they're also probably the two instruments that, if they're not used well, can absolutely ruin a song. Amen? Let me give you an example. Okay. You can keep a nice little, beat going, right? Amen. That's beautiful. Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. But it just becomes a random cacophonous sound and nobody understands what's going on. And it could utterly ruin a time of worship or song. So Paul is saying, if I'm not using the gifts in love, I'm just making noise. See, here's the thing, guys. I've found that really within our church, and I love this, that per capita, I just see such a massive amount of gifting that we have. And the awesome thing is that as I see those gifts being utilized in love, it's a beautiful thing. But one of the traps that we can fall into is just utilizing our gifts in our own strength, out of obedience, out of our will, and not using them in love. Verse 2, he says, if I have prophetic powers, I can say amen to so many people in this congregation. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, can anyone say amen? I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Think about what's being said there. There's a word in there that happens a couple times that actually sort of blows my mind. The word is all. If I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and all faith, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The amount of sacrifice that you can give away, if you do so without love, we have nothing. So here's the thing. I think that there's a subtle warning going on here. There's something that we need to bear in mind is, what are you pursuing? Honestly, what are you pursuing? Like for me, I agree. We have made it clear that our desire is to pursue the Word of God. As we pursue the Word of God, in my mind, I know for a lot of people that becomes sheer an academic pursuit. Great. I'm not going to cast aspersions on anyone. But for me, the pursuit of the Word of God is going to have certain outcomes. There's going to be actions because the Bible speaks of a lot of things that should be done. I don't just want to understand what it means to love. I don't just want to be able to define love. I want to actually go out and love people. So the warning is in our pursuit of things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these things that sizzle and pop a bit, that cause people to go, whoa, man, if you have gone up and prophesied into someone's life and just read their mail and they've just gone, my goodness, I'm undone. That's some pretty heady stuff. But without love, it's nothing. The Bible tells us, verse 4, love is patient and kind. In case you don't know, in case you may have not had a good example of what love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. I just point out that Paul wrote this in a society without automobiles or traffic jams. Amen? I think we need some context here, okay? It does not insist on its own way. Also, Paul wasn't married, okay? It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears, here's that word again, all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Endures all things. How long do we suffer with people? How long should I put up with that person? All. Verse 8, love never ends. And it goes on from there. And I guess the thing that I started to realize is what is it? You know, my wife had she's, like I say, she's at a conference, and she was sort of texting me a few things that she was, the revelation she was having through the conference. And one of the things that she had spoken to me that I really started to meditate on is this idea that she said, so often there's a correlation within Scripture of Jesus being moved by compassion and the miraculous taking place. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I started going through, and I found a ton of places where Jesus is moved by compassion, and it's like the fertile ground then for the miraculous to take place. Now, let me explain the correlation between love and compassion, okay? I believe that love is that choice, that thing, that entity, and compassion is the feeling that urges us toward. The word compassion in the Greek, very interesting word as it occurs in the New Testament. It actually means a feeling as though in the pit of your stomach. Have you ever had that? Do you ever have that urge that's just in the pit of your stomach where you're like, oh man, I gotta do that. I have to help that person. For me, I call it, you can take offense at this if you want, but it's those hell or high water moments. You know, sort of come hell or high water, I'm gonna make a difference there. And it's more than a choice. It's a feeling in my gut that just says, I'm gonna get this done. And so Jesus, he's talking about being moved by compassion. I'm just going to read a few verses to you that just give a little bit of background to this idea. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowd, speaking of Jesus, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and he they're sick. I love that. Compassion led to the sick being healed. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and had nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they should faint on the way. And we know this is where Jesus goes out and then feeds thousands of people. I'd call that a miracle. He did so with very little food, and he multiplied it. And the thing that created the fertile soil for that was Jesus' being moved by compassion. Mark chapter 6, verse 34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Luke chapter 7, verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, do not weep. And he goes on to perform a miracle. Luke chapter 15, verse 20, he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Does anybody know what story that's talking about? What parable? Prodigal son. Prodigal son, and to me that's beautiful. The prodigal son is because it's showing that how far can you get away from the father? Not how you can. The father saw him far off, moved by compassion. Man, when you come to Jesus, he's going to be moved by compassion in the same way that father was. And he ran and embraced and kissed them. Now, here's the cool thing is at the end of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, we see Jesus' followers beginning to be moved in the same way. He says, for you had compassion. You know, Paul, well, the writer of Hebrews, I won't say it's Paul, but I think it's Paul, you know. In chapter 10, verse 34 of Hebrews, he says, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Compassion moved people to action. I think sometimes there's the possibility of getting caught in the place of being really impressed with the gifts that we have. And maybe in doing so, we forget that the way we actually use those things, the way we're actually supposed to be drawn towards using those things is through love. You can speak with the tongue of men and of angels. You can have all prophetic power and understand all mysteries. But if you don't have love, it's nothing. Book of Proverbs tells us, guard your heart above all else, for out of it flow the issues of life. Why is that so important? Why is it so important to guard your heart above all else? Because if my heart, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. If my heart becomes wounded, it becomes an opportunity for the enemy to build a stronghold in my life that makes it difficult for me to love around that. See, 1 Corinthians tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual. They're mighty in God to pull down strongholds. Why is it so important to pull down strongholds in people's lives? Because wounded hearts create strongholds, and when strongholds built up, they become a wall. When a wall gets built up, it makes it very difficult to love around that. A principle that I've learned through my walk, just through life, is that without vulnerability, it's impossible to love. Without vulnerability, it's impossible to love. And the tendency that wounding has, when my heart becomes wounded, the tendency I have is to put up a wall to make sure I never get hurt there again. Amen? And I'm not, it's perfectly natural. But at another place, Paul accuses us of acting as mere men. We're not supposed to act naturally, guys. Amen? We're supposed to act supernaturally. So the encouragement today, I get tested in this a lot. Is to make sure that we guard our heart. And in the process of guarding your heart, I guess the other thing that I would encourage us in is, man, be examining your heart. Amen? One of the blessings, one of the benefits I've had about prophetic people within this congregation is oftentimes they can maybe speak into an area of my life where I didn't even know I had a strong. Strongholds can become such a part of our personality that actually we don't even know that it's there. I want to be effective. Amen? I genuinely believe that you guys want to be effective. I believe that we want to see people changed. I know the work that we do. We punch well above our weight in this community and stuff that we try to do outside the doors of this church. The way we do that, the most effective way is by making sure we're people who are characterized by love. Amen? The thing that will stop me, that will stop you from loving quicker than anything else, is to allow ourselves to become wounded and to not allow those wounds to heal. How do we heal those wounds? We have to guard our heart. That's how you stop the wounds from happening. How, well, Scott, some of us may say, and I've had to look in the mirror and tell myself this, it's too late. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. My heart's been nicked in this area. Then I have to make myself vulnerable and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to minister into those areas. Now, for me, I'm not going to try to speak for everyone, but for me, one of the most significant ways that has happened in my own life is through prophecy. Well, you may say, you know, it seems like every Sunday you guys are offering to pray for people, offering to give people words. Right! Because that's one of the areas that myself, I think I can speak for Jeremy and Rob and Leonie, that we've experienced a tremendous amount of freedom. Is through prophecy, that it's exposed those areas that need to be cleaned out, that need to be dealt with. And when we do, man, then I'm walking in freedom. I'm walking with the ability to be vulnerable, and I can love. Without vulnerability, it is impossible to love. And if we have strongholds built up, man, strongholds will build up in your life brick upon brick until they become a wall. And the comforting thing is that wall feels very protective. Amen? The problem is God is a gentleman. Why is that a problem? Is he's going to honor that wall. Amen? He says, okay, you don't want that place touched? I will respect that. So what does the enemy do when he finds a place in your life and your heart that the Lord won't go or can't go, shall I say? He sets up house. That's the importance of pulling down strongholds. Amen? So today, you know, my encouragement today, man, guard your heart. Let's make sure that we don't get those wounds. Examine your heart. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and your life. Be willing to be vulnerable. And, you know, yeah. Then we can be loving. Amen? So what we're going to do is, as per usual, we just want to have a little bit of worship. We want to allow the word to settle. But I think what we're going to do is maybe Jeremy and myself, maybe we'll grab Barbara. We're just going to sit in the back. And if you just want a word around that this morning, if you just want to hear from the Lord potentially in that area, give us an opportunity to pray for you. If you just want to sit and let the Lord minister to you in this space, in this time, stick around. If you want to get next door, if you want to have some fellowship, if you want to chat with some folks and have some communion, by all means do so. So once again, as usual, we're not going to rush away from this space. We're not going to rush away from the atmosphere. But if you've got to get going, you are absolutely excused. If you just want to get next door and have a little bit of fellowship, go ahead and do it. But if you want a word, if you just want to settle in this place, do it. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. for us, Father. We thank you that you have given us weapons to examine our hearts, that you have given us weapons to guard our hearts against the enemy, that you have given us gifts that we can use as tools to build ourselves up, Lord. And as the Lord, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. So, Father, we ask today that you would build in our hearts, that you would take away those things, that at least expose those things, that we could allow you to take away those things, Lord, that are hindering us, and that you could build those things that will strengthen us in Jesus' name.